Welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin again from Coins Plus, the host. Coins Plus sponsors the show and has for a very long time. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street, inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza on the Division Street Hill. Common word there is obviously division. We've been in business 20 years. We can be reached at 444-0044 locally or outside the area toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through the website at coinsplus.com. So what's going on out there in the world? We have Trump kind of on a mission. We've got Secretary of State Rex, is it Tiller? Oh, the brain went blank there. Guess I'm getting old. He's in Russia, and he is making, there's statements coming out. They're just, Rex Tillerson, I think is his name. But folks, interestingly enough, we have basically got the media just dissecting our nation. They are piranhas. They are ruthless piranhas. And why I say that is that you have, for example, yesterday, whatever he is, the Sean Spicer, he speaks, I don't know if it's PR or, he's the speaker for the president. I'm not doing good with titles today. Anyway, so he comes out yesterday and he's kind of maybe press secretary. That's what he is. So he's kind of Sean Spicer, the press secretary. So he comes out yesterday and he's talking about Syria and how ridiculously unacceptable it is that they used chemical weapons, sarin gas, and whatever else on their own people, and they're using these barrel bombs, which I understand are bad. My understanding is that barrel bombs are basically big barrels full of shrapnel and shards and, nails, just terrible things that they blow up, and all these things fly. And they just rip flesh. It's really, really hideous. This stuff is obviously spawned by an absolute hatred. Why they hate their people. It's an internal civil war that's been going on for so long. And it's, you've got, it's bad. It's absolutely at a level that we don't even understand, with the Shias and the Sunnis, it's been going on. There's just, they call it infighting. I remember back in the 80s when I was in college and I got a job one summer at a, U.S. Department of Agriculture chemistry department lab thing. And I actually wasn't really up to speed on much back then. I was in the Young Republicans, but I was about as naive as a kid could get. And I ended up working side by side with an Iranian exchange student and an Iraqi, which, by the way, were both here getting their PhDs on our government dollars. And so I'm working with these guys, and they are just trash-talking America to me. And I'm talking, this is clear back in the 80s. The Great White Satan term was already on the tip of their tongue when referring to the country they were standing in, going to school in, learning from, and having pay for their education. And I was like, what is it with you guys? You guys are, you hate us, you're taken from us. You're getting free everything from us, and yet you two, Iraqi and Iran, you guys are at war right now. Over in the Middle East, these two nations, Iran and Iraq, were at war. I said, how is this that you guys, you're supposed to be enemies, and you hate us, and you're here together? He said, or they said to me, we're like brothers who are fighting, but when it comes to the great white Satan, we unite. And it's just Islamic mental illness, I guess. It's a sick satanic religion. There is no other way around it. When you get people that say it's peace loving and, you know, it's misunderstood, they're folks, they just don't read the scriptures. And I've gone over them here on the show. There's no room for doubt in that stuff. It's so crystal clear. And yet they just have such a heinous, destructive attitude towards others because it is the devil's religion. There's no respect for life. Allah is the great puppet master. Nobody has any kind of a decision to make whatsoever. So you've got yesterday, Spicer comes out and he makes this comment about Syria and their chemical weapons being worse than anything done, and basically saying worse than Hitler. And he says even Hitler never did anything like this, basically. And of course, he made a mistake. He knew he did. Everyone knew he did. He'd forgotten about the gas chambers. And the media just goes to town on him all night, all day. You know, he said that Hitler didn't use chemical weapons, basically, but he forgot about the gas chambers, right? Okay, so terrible. But the thing was, they knew it was a mistake. Everyone knew it was a mistake. Spicer immediately admitted it was a mistake. The problem is, the media, these liberal stations, were spinning it, misquoting it, making it seem as if it was intentional and deliberate. And, you know, they deceive their watchers and their listeners. And I can hear people out there going, oh, yeah, Kevin, like, tell us something we don't know. Well, we know that the media is deceptive and misleading, but folks, this affects a massive portion of this nation. There are fools that line up for this stuff. They don't go out and get alternative news. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty sad when you have to call the truth alternative news, isn't it? If you want the truth, you have to go to alternative news sources. I find that rather troubling. So basically they, you know, and just the whole spirit, folks, I guess where I'm going is the spirit of this world. There is a spiritual tension that is at an all-time high. So what happens? So what happens every time? So Spicer makes a mistake. Dumb comment, right? We're all human. So all these various news channels that are covering it in their coverage, it's ironic. You know, if I were to suppose or guess, I believe that Sean Spicer is a believer and God loves him, because there was instance after instant after instance of the people covering him making huge verbal mistakes. You know, one of them referred to him as Hitler in his speech and kept going. And then there was just other misleading facts, completely wrong. Ironic, isn't it, that they can't see their own humanity? It's the lack of humility, the lack of compassion. And it's sad that we live in a world where, you know, there's such a distinction between those of people of true faith and the world. And it's getting more and more and more separate. As I read in Timothy the other day, what people are going to be like more at the end times. But the problem is, we're getting pulled as a nation more and more center left. And what happens is, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Humans adapt. And, you know, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and I was just speaking with a gal the other day about financial investing. And everybody is caught up in the paper world. Everyone has their money tied up in this paper nightmare. And on Monday, I touched on this usdebtclock.org, which I encourage anyone to go to. Folks, the problem is these numbers don't even make sense. Now, as an example, since the show, so when I was on the show last time, I was kind of counting. I was going, you know, 50,000, 60,000, 70,000. I was just counting, watching the clock. Since the show, the amount of debt that we have accumulated has gone up by, you know, something, which is what, 2 days ago, it's gone up by literally like $300 million in 2 days. I mean, it is absolutely on a roll. I discussed the fact that just our deficit alone, that's just to pay back money, just money they've made, is $61,000 per citizen. This is off of their own government numbers. Then you go down to our interest paid at $2.5 trillion, which is running rampant, which is $7,600 per citizen per year. Our total debt per citizen is, just based on our interest, is $211,000. So, and then to go down, the kicker, when I just about fell out of my seat, is our debt per family is $827,000. It's $211,000 per citizen. And our liability, what they call unfunded liabilities, this is debt that you and I owe to NATO, to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, whatever. It's a big group of stuff. $881,000. So you owe $881,000. And you owe $827,000. That's a little over $1.7 million per family. And that's the average size family in America. And then when you start looking, there's just so many numbers here, you can't even believe it. Ironically, on top of that amount of debt, looking on the same screen, median income, this is where it gets sad. Median income in the year 2000 was $29,033. Median income now is $30,181 a year. So income has gone up maybe not even quite 4%, say 3.5% in 17 years. In the same amount of time, the cost of goods has gone rampant. I collect watches. I love them. And I always look at Patek Philippe's. I don't own one. They're very expensive. But I would love to someday. And I was looking at some today, just because it's my fix, I guess. And there's one called the Calatrava. It's a fairly simple watch, but it's a very expensive watch because it's Patek Philippe. They're the finest Swiss-made watches in the world, very limited production runs, etc. So I was looking at the prices based on age. So if you get one from the 90s, they're like $11,000. And if you get one now, they're around $30,000 if you get a new one. And I was doing some research about, you know, why are they depreciating like that? Because watches, really good quality Swiss-made watches from good makers like Patek and Rolex, typically don't slide in value much. You'll have a quick reduction if you buy it brand new retail, but after that, you're kind of okay. And what I realized when I did some quick research was, the watches that are $11,000 from the 90s, that's what they sold for new in the 90s. And these watches are worn. If somebody kept it mint, it might be worth $20,000. But my point is this. The watch that sold for $10,000 or $11,000 in the 90s, which hasn't really changed, it's a very simple, basic, timeless watch design, now sells for $30,000. Now, I'm talking the late mid-90s. I'm talking the same amount of time, very close to what I just told you about median income. So watches from As a matter of fact, the one I was looking at was from about 97, 3 years before 2000. So, and that is an excellent comparative for inflation because it's a luxury item. And so it's truly adapted to a free market. There is no regulations to push it down, no government involvement, etc. So it's gone up. It's tripled in value in about 20 years. Folks, this is the truth of what's going on with your money. Not even to mention the fact that for us to adapt, and we will, to this runaway rampant inflation, when it finally settles into the metals, the precious metals have another huge leap ahead of them. They go in strong cycles. And the reason is because there is manipulation on the futures market. And how that works is this. You get all the central banks. Obama really put the boots to it starting in 13. He got together with all the central bankers. And by the way, as Trump makes his rounds as president, he will come to that point. I just don't know when it is. I will tell you this, though. We have the debt ceiling coming up in April, okay? And that is when, that's the time when Obama dealt with it and when the debt ceiling was done and they were sitting down with all of these world central bankers and they basically sat down and said, look, we've got to get a greater influx of these Federal Reserve notes into the stock market or it will blow. Okay, so the money that is in these stocks and in the market is not there by choice. It's there by coercion. It's there by controlling all world markets. Our system is so complex and so corrupt and so debt-based, which is an absolutely anti-biblical precept. It's absolutely wrong, okay? I mean, debt, God don't like it. God knows. The Bible's crystal clear. Debt consumes and destroys. There's a reason. Because he says, don't charge usury. Why? Because usury destroys a society. You know, you might be a little greedy, think you're a little bit smart, and start loaning money out at an interest rate. But the problem is then it gets bigger, more people do it, more people, and pretty soon everyone's charging interest. Well, guess what? You've established an inflation rate. Because it takes more money to pay back what you borrowed. Where's that come from? The Fed. The Fed puts it out, and we got to borrow the money to pay back the money we borrowed. I mean, we got to borrow the money to pay back the interest, too. It is insane. I'm telling you, folks, it is a concept that is so counterintuitive, it is very difficult to comprehend because it's completely contrary to what God made you understand in your core. You were made, and this was proven in a study in the early 90s, you were made with an innate desire for wealth, not greedy riches, but you know our flesh can overtake us and that can become an issue. But you have an innate desire for gold and valuable things. It's just the way he made us. And your desire is the average human desire is to improve. Your average desire says, what's over that mountain over there? And I'd like to own that. I'd love that to be my own place to go. I want my own house. I really would like my own car. And then, you know, this car is not that nice. It's given me problems. I want a nicer car. I'm sorry. We're made that way in different environmental things. Obviously, people are different, but different environmental influences and decisions we make can affect that one way or the other. We get to know God. We read his word. We understand how money can be destructive, and hopefully we gain wisdom and we control and contain ourselves in our handling of it. But we do desire it. And the Federal Reserve System, the Keynesian economic system and socialism is truly directly contrary to these desires that God placed within us. Another very interesting aspect of this is the fact that because You are created with a desire to accumulate and to improve and to build and to grow. This is one, it obviously guarantees the progress of humanity. It guarantees the preservation of humanity. God placed these things in us. Could very well be one aspect of what makes Lucifer so angry about our creation. He despises us. But the other thing that this does for you is it assures you of the value of the items that we are speaking about until the final bell rings, until God comes back, until the game is over, until he wraps up the heavens and hauls us all into heaven or wherever else somebody might end up going. Because people ask that question. It's a simplistic mindset. A lot of people don't have logic or common sense, and they say, well, how do I know that gold and silver and these coins and whatnot are going to maintain their value over time? Okay? But if you use your common sense, and let's do it like this. Let's just say that a really bad event occurred with nukes, okay? And let's just say you happen to be lucky enough to be in a spot where you could get underground, you know, 3-4 stories under concrete, and somehow you survive. And other people survive too, but, you know, you're one of them. And you go out in the streets, and you start digging around, and you're salvaging, and you're going through houses, and you're doing whatever it is you do, and you come across some gold, okay? Now, the world's just experienced a horrendous nuclear attack with retaliation. This is a very hypothetical, but the point is, you come across some gold and valuable coins. Are you going to step over them and walk on, okay? Or are you going to pick them up and put them in your pocket? All right. So then you go down the road and, you know, maybe you come to a situation where somebody else has something you want and you start to haggle with them and they're like, well, what do you got? You know, and you pull out your gold and then that guy at some point's going to say, okay, I'll do that. I'll take a certain percentage of your golden coins. Now a value has been established for whatever you purchased and the guy knows what he sold to get it. Then he's going to go on and do the same thing somewhere else and somewhere else. Not to mention the fact that if you have a bunch of golden rare coins in this dire situation, somebody may come to you and say, hey, I'll trade you that for this or whatever. Or he may have, you know, who knows. But the point is, a market will quickly be reestablished. God attributed a select group of things as true wealth on this earth. And they are... they're lead categories, okay, and they're sectors. There are items that fall underneath them that also are that entail or include the same amount. So gold and silver is one, right? And that includes the whole coin industry. We've got livestock, I call it. That's animals. There's all kinds of food issues there. I don't care if it's birds or deer or, you know, cattle that we raise. And then without power for eons and millennia, we used horses and cattle and oxen and things like that for energy. They did work for us. And if we ever are so unfortunate to experience the downage of our power grid through any kind of an EMP pulse, which also, folks, by the way, when we talk about EMP bombs, electromagnetic pulse, that includes nukes. If a nuke ever goes off in America within any range, you know, a thousand miles of power grids, it's over. It's going to shut down. It's going to fry all of our cell phones. It's going to fry all of our cars that have computer chips in them. Nuclear bombs in and of themselves, atomic bombs, are EMPs, okay? It's a fact. So I am legitimately concerned that the day is coming, okay? We, of all nations in history, America has had the longest peacetime. Two things. We've had the longest peacetime on our soil, that is, in world history, number one. And number two, that includes the fact that we've endured the longest peacetime without any foreign invasion or attack on our soil, the longest in history. And so, you know, what does that mean? I mean, does that mean that we've, you know, how long will it go? Do all things go on forever? Or do, you know, will our chickens come home to roost, as Reverend Jeremiah Wright said from Obama's church? You know, it's pretty obvious to me that things don't continue on as they have forever. And I think that we, you know, the question is, we don't know when, where, how, or why, but we can use our head, okay? And when you think of, you know, the fact that we know Christ and we know prophecy, unfortunately, some of it is very concerning. I mean, let's be honest. It's, you know, we know God, and a lot of people get worried about, you know, what's going to happen. People freak out. When you first start studying prophecy, it's intimidating. It's scary. I mean, and then that is when we need to know God. It's very interesting to wonder why he gave us that insight. Why did he let us know? I mean, is it self-fulfilling, like with Cyrus and Babylon, where because they showed him the scripture, he did what it said? You know, you think about the mark of the beast. We won't accept the mark of the beast because the Bible says we won't accept the mark of the beast. Isn't that correct? So I'm not sure why he shows us the prophecy he does. But, you know, in 2 Peter, like I said, he says, for ever since the fathers fell asleep, so it says, where is the promise of his coming? Forever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning. And then it says in here, of creation. Okay? What's interesting about that scripture, when we study it, when you go to the Greek, which you know I love to do, this is interesting because this is where people make mistakes when they translate. The word used where it says since the beginning of creation in our English translation, the word is ktesis. And it's basically K-T-I-S-I-S. But what's interesting is it doesn't mean creation. It means the beginning. And why does that matter? The reason that that matters, if you read it, it says, forever since, this is basically, he says, know this, first of all, starting a verse earlier, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning, and they wrote of creation. But no, it's from the beginning. Why is that relevant? That's what the Greek says. Why it's relevant is because of this rampant evolutionary theory lie, okay? It abolishes creation. It takes God out. So this is even more fitting when you understand the Greek of what's really being said in the end times, because this was written 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, even 200 years ago, the concept of God was like non-negotiable. It was known. It wasn't even questioned. Why? Because it's obvious, like Romans 1 says, it's obvious. It's everywhere. His eternal nature is everywhere. You can't deny it. If you think of the fact that, you know, I like cars. And as cars evolve with a creationist, being as cars continue to be created better and better, what happens with sports cars? The front of a sports car is becoming more and more and more like a shark. It's getting a mouth that brings in air. It's got two eyes that are lights like slits. You start looking at the front of vehicles. It's symmetrical. It almost gets a nose. They're getting a point to them. Because that design from our Creator is ideal to draw in air, to be able to do all the things right. And then you look at our face. We've got two eyes, a nose, and a mouth right on the front so we can see, we can breathe the air. It's right there. It's right in front of us. And that kind of a creation. Now, you think about over time as things improve and improve and improve. You know, we're never... I mean, you think of the evolution of vehicles over 70 years. Sure, they're getting neat technology, but they're nowhere near the human body. The human body is made up, all things are made up of molecules that somehow know where to go and what to do. We know that DNA, our DNA, tells our bodies, tells the molecules where to go. Then it tells to make cells, and then it tells the cells where they belong, and then each cell operates individually, and then we have skin that is rejuvenatable, I guess is not a word, but it's self-rejuvenating. You cut it, it heals. And I believe, you know, there's times if you think, why would God make us? So if we get a surgery, it takes, you know, 8 weeks to get moving right, and then a year to even feel right. You're like, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he make it faster? Well, if you study the pre-flood atmosphere with the firmament above and below, the high oxygen content, the complete eradication of cosmic rays, you'd understand that we would have healed in hours. We would have been able to run a marathon and not even break a sweat because of the heavy oxygen infusion and the fact that the high atmospheric pressure, which is basically oxygenated fuel or oxygenated fluid, would lightens us, would make us weigh far less. This is why our founding fathers lived so long ago. But that was a side note about our creation, because the way we are created, as the Bible says, is we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Unbelievable. But to look at that and say, I just love it when literally you can talk to evolutionists, and I do, and they say, when evolution made this, when evolution chose to do this, when evolution created this. How stupid is that? Evolution is a personality with a brain and an intention. Evolution? They're replacing the word God with evolution. You know, and so as they say, things will continue as they've always been. You know, they won't, is the point. God gives us prophecies. You know, he says, as you go on in the scripture, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But so he talks about the flood. Well, actually, I missed a verse. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And then he goes into, and through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. And then he goes, by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly man. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient, and it goes on. And then he's going to come like a thief in the night. So he basically is talking about, you know, we had the flood. And then he says a day is a year and a year is a day. God, he talks about the fact that God created the earth. And then he says a year, 1,000 years is a day and a year is a thousand, et cetera. So, which basically tells me that there is going to be 6,000 years followed by a 7,000th year, which is the day of rest when God rests. And when we go back chronologically, it's people want to put everything at 70,000, 100,000, 250,000 years for humanity. It's stupidity. It's stupidity when you even look at what happens to the Earth even in two decades. I mean, I think I mentioned in Montana where I'm from, out in the plains, there's old farmhouses that have just sat there, and they're already 3 feet, you know, the inside of them is 3 feet full of dirt. I mean, things change fast, and they, you know, they basically say, well, you know, a layer of dirt is laid down by our atmosphere once every 1,000 years, you know, and a layer is an inch, and, you know, they've just got all this foolish craziness going on in their head. So, the where we are at in our national system, I believe, is very concerning. I see Trump out meeting with NATO. I see Rex Tillerson meeting with Russia. I hear Trump saying our relations with Russia are at an all-time low. We're getting back into the Middle East again. Now we're talking about deposing Assad. Folks, look at what has happened to every country we have done that to. Iraq is a mess, all right? Iraq had some of the most beautiful historical, you know, landmarks and architecture. It was in beautiful place. Saddam had to manage it and control it in a dark way because they have a dark religion and that's the way of their world. We pull him out, hang him, kill his son so bad that when we hung him, his head fell off. And then we get to the point where the place is just in mass chaos. We've got ISIS taking over. You know, we deposed Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, of all things, which, folks, that baffles me. I mean, I was comfortable going to Egypt. I wouldn't touch that country with a 10-foot pole now. And we deposed Gaddafi in Libya. And look at what a mess that is. And we end up with Benghazi. And now we want to depose Assad. I understand he's a war criminal with his, you know, gassing his own people. At least it appears to be. The biggest concern I have is how much truth is in the stories we're even getting. I've become so skeptical, I don't even know. But we want to depose Assad, whose family has been there. It's a family affair. And royalty or nobility is not something that you can just teach. It's bred into you. And then we've got Russia standing by Syria's side in a very dangerous manner. They're very overconfident and they're ready to go. They want to go. They think they do. It really doesn't matter because if they do, they're going to cause us eons, tons of harm. You know, you think of a boxer who's going into a boxing match and he's a mismatch for the champion. And yet he still talks tough and acts tough and thinks he's hot shot. Why? Just because he wants to be associated with standing up to the champion. If he fights the champion, his name ends up on the wall. He gets his name out there. And then he knows there's always a chance he can get a lucky shot in and knock the champ out. And that's the same thing that we're facing on a global basis now. They know that Obama has systematically disarmed this nation, bringing our Navy to the lowest level it's been since before World War II. They say all the way back to its levels at World War I. He has systematically taken this nation apart. If we engage in multiple wars now, we'll have problems. We're trying to get China's cooperation in dealing with North Korea, which is also run by a lunatic. And the more he says, the more coverage he gets, the crazier and more loony he gets. I don't know if people saw a few weeks back where his brother was assassinated in an airport by a girl coming up behind him, putting a rag over his mouth with some kind of poison. And then he knew something had happened, and he went and talked to the customer service gal and then went over and talked to the police. While he was talking to the police, he collapsed. And then they rushed him to the hospital where they did an autopsy. And guess what? They couldn't find what it was. There was no trace in him. So they've got some pretty good stuff that they can kill you with. Anyway, these countries are most corrupt. And so back to where we're at economically, which, see, I have to keep forcing myself to do that. We are being greatly deceived, folks. I think Obama was the great deceiver. I don't think he didn't care, but I do think that he had the attitude that revealing true information, dealing with it properly, was destructive. He was a Democrat. The Democrats believe in keeping the middle class poor. There was a study that came out years back where they, when they were really, when Obama was pushing the separating the working class from the rich. And this study came out and showed that the rich work more than the poor. The rich are relatively hard workers. It has everything to do with the hours they work and all this kind of stuff. It's not just a big fluke of nature, but it is the way things work. The rich are not evil. They're the people that make this nation go round. And as I mentioned, Obama has effectually tripled tax revenues, and it's still not enough. It's never going to end. We are doing everything in this nation we stood against. We're one of the only nations that has an ongoing real estate tax. Other countries, when you buy, you pay the real estate tax at the time of closing and you're done. You own the home. Here, you will never own your house. We are taxed to death. And we've got, you know, military, I should say, police state backup for the IRS. They can take everything you own and ruin your life. You know, we've come to a point, it started 2 decades ago with the show Cops, and then, you know, I thought, well, boy, those cops will behave better on TV, and they got worse. They became more sensational, and everything was based on what they could do and what they could get away with. And then we see it, and in the last couple days, the United Airlines passenger who United decides they've overbooked, and they're going to pull people off the plane, which is terrible. And they go to these 4, quote unquote, randomly selected individuals. 3 of them voluntarily get off. And the 4th, who's a doctor, says, I'm not getting off. I've got to be in whatever town he was going to. I've got patients to see in the morning. So it's, you know, and they just keep telling him, that's too bad, you need to get off. And he says, no, I'm not getting off. So they bring on police. Now, folks, you got to realize this is a civil matter. There's no criminal action here. It's all civil. So they bring on the police. I'm sure you've seen the video. It's been everywhere. And they proceed to rip, and I mean physically, intensively, rip this doctor from his seat so hard. They bounce his head off the side of another seat, you know, basically splitting his face open so he's bleeding all over. He's knocked out while they're dragging him out. And, of course, now thank God for videos because he, you know, the police officer is on leave and this man does have a large lawsuit, which he's due, you know, for. I mean, United... You know, this is a tangent I'll go down. We have had very, very bad experiences with United. We've had them delays all the time. Going to New York one time, we had, or I think we were coming back from the Dominican Republic, and then we laid over in New York, and they had a delay. They had some kind of a delay, and so we thought, well, we'll stay a couple days and then fly home. Well, when they booked the ticket, apparently they accidentally booked our departing ticket the day before we were scheduled to leave. So on the day or around, I think that day we discovered it, and it was like they – so we discovered that they had – or got an email or a text that said, hey, your flight's departing. And we're like, wait a minute, we're not supposed to be on that flight. So we call United. This is the last day of our vacation, basically, and spend hours on the phone. And they're the general spirit of that company is very bad. It's one of the worst I've dealt with. And after hours, they say they can't fix it. And they, you know, they if we finally get a lady to dig back deep enough to see what happened, she says, well, you're going to have to go to the airport and get new tickets or get your tickets, you know, changed out. So my wife goes to the airport, and this gal just, you know, is not only of no help, she's got a terrible attitude. And she said, it's not my problem, and she storms off. And my wife stands at this ticket counter for like 10 or 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, trying to figure out what's going on. And another gal comes up, looks at it, and says, no problem, and fixes it, which basically means the first gal could have just as easily done it. But she said she wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. On our last trip, we were going to a big Boys and Girls Club fundraiser down in Florida, which is the biggest one in the U.S., and we had more delays, and we get stuck in Denver. And anyway, it was a long, brutal process. I'll tell you, the way we were treated, you know, and forced to stay overnight and pick up all of our own tab and just the general attitude. There's a lot of other features there. We had gotten the first class tickets, which they, you know, didn't. On our next flight, they eradicated them and said, you know, we didn't have real first class because we didn't pay the full fare. But in general, the attitude was unbelievable. And we had decided that we just would not fly on United because the general spirit, even of their stewardesses, and I was reading that online today, where people say their stewardesses are tough. You know, they're just, their attitudes are not good at all. And so hopefully this is God's way of bringing this to the forefront and cleaning a company up. Because as the Bible does say, you will reap what you sow. So back to this U.S. debt clock, folks. Trump's not addressing the situation. Trump's very progressive, or not very progressive, very populist in nature. He has shown no desire to reduce our outgo, our expenditures on our budget. And he is propelling us towards doom. And I know we've talked about this, and, you know, it's hard because in America, it's a big country, and people have innovation. They have a drive and work ethic and an ability to produce and provide for their families. And so we continue to struggle against this system. And I was speaking earlier about how gold, you know, is manipulated, or metals are manipulated. And when the central banks do this, but what eventually happens is when people start to come back into the market strong and they see that the, you know, basically the contention between the true investor and corporate shorts or central bank, the short contracts from central banks begins to conflict too much, then they say, well, okay, and they start to let the metal rise. And then they'll buy long contracts to try to bet on the increases and set themselves up to make more money. But the metals run in long cycles, okay? And what I mean by that is they'll kind of eke up, and then they break out. And we were talking earlier in the show about the, you know, true inflation, the fact that median income has not gone up. The difference between median and average is with average, you add up everybody's pay and divide it by the number of people in the sample group. What a median is you take a line of all pay or any number and you pick the one that's in the middle, which seems to be the most accurate when you're, especially if you're going from low to high or high to low. And because, you know, with median incomes going up 3 to 4% while inflation's on a rampant rise, and we, by the way, are heading into no other option but hyperinflation now, folks, to be completely candid with you, hyperinflation is the only answer. The question that I have is if like Trump is ever going to figure this out or not. And the, you know, ultimately, folks, everyone's income fails. I mean, in one form or another. and you need to be preserved. Now, I talk to people who call or whatever, and they're half depressed. They say, I really wish I could save some money, but I don't have much. You don't need much. You really don't. It's whatever's important to you, whatever's good for you, is what you need. And so, you know, I am encouraging you. I believe God gave us a clear path. I believe we've got a debt and deficit. Folks, this stuff is not, it's not, you know, as we're reading the Bible, that'll continue on as it always has been. It won't. The greatest nation in the history of the world, with the strongest economy in the history of the world, which is absolutely cooking the books at a level you can't even fathom and keeping the truth from the people, will blow. It just will. So the question is, where will you be when this occurs? Are you going? Where are you going to have your money? Now, I'm not telling you to just panic and cash out and buy gold because you're afraid. You don't make decisions like that. What I'm talking about is I guess we could call it the extreme case scenario, but it's very real. It's very numerical. And Obama's done some crazy things to bring us to this level. I mean, the man was a genius, but as you know, we've introduced things to this nation I can't even believe, to be honest. But we're there. Trump seems to want to spend and spend and spend. He doesn't seem to want to address what I'm talking to you about here today. He just shows no desire to address it or deal with it. It just seems that it's not important to him. Why, I can't even begin to explain. But it may be overall comprehension or the fact that he's built his empire on debt. I don't even know. But I do know that that's where we're at. So what's important now is what you do about it. And folks, it's very simple. 401ks and IRAs are a cakewalk. You call us up. We get you hooked up with you open your own account, and then we can transfer funds and do whatever you want there. If you have savings accounts, you want to have some cash in the bank. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you want to have a couple months worth of cash available. So you can use the bank for that, but things that are mid to long term should go into God's ordained forms of wealth and capital preservation, which is our area of expertise. And our clients have done very well over time. You know, the metals continue to just creep up. Semi-numismatic and rare coins, you know, we're coming out of a valley, so we're pricing them extraordinarily wholesale for you to protect and preserve. But my point is you won't regret it because you don't have a speculative stock like UAW, United Airlines stock, or UAL, I should say, that is tanking now because of the behavior of some ticket agents and the fact that the president or CEO, his first response was to attack the customer, which to me really stood out as what the problem is. You know, it's the problem with United is, you know, the fact that they've just got, well, the wrong people in the wrong places. And that goes everywhere. I mean, it's people's perceptions. It's, you know, people lose touch with reality in a big, big way. And so when we, you know, get to looking at what's going on around this country, we've got huge sell-offs. We've got people, you know, the actual financial position that most people are in this nation is extraordinarily poor. The savings is the lowest it's been since the Great Depression and before. It's as low as it's ever been. People don't have net worth. They're using credit cards. With the median income drop, folks, that affects everybody. People can't even afford to live anymore. They can't do it. You know, and it's just, that's intentional. It is designed to fleece, to bankrupt our middle class of our nation. And you can preserve, you can protect yourself from that. There's, you know, with retirement withdrawals are exceeding contributions. Since 2008, the U.S. public debt is up $10 trillion, you know, which is more than any of the markets have gone up. The trends, you know, subprime auto loans are exploding. I mean, I just, you know, there's so much bad stuff out there, folks. The amount of debt that students are carrying when they walk out. I mean, we've become a debt-laden, debt-burdened nation. Precious metals-based assets are the one thing that will at least keep up with that for you. So, you know, I have pled before, I'll plead again. Make the move. I mean, do the right thing. We're here to help you do the right thing. To us, it's honestly not about getting your money. It's about helping you do the right thing. You have nothing to lose, nothing. You know, you're going to have a solid asset that's going to last, that's going to grow. You don't have to worry about politics. You don't have to worry about news, bad news hurting it. It is timeless. It's got God's ordained, you know, authorization. It's endorsed by Him. It's the way you want to go. The up-and-coming generation of college students are in a bad spot. 96% are taking jobs that don't include a degree. The top 10 largest occupations in the United States only pay $20,000 to $30,000 a year. I mean, they're, you know, I can't go through them right now. I don't have time about, you know, sales people and cashiers and all this, but I'm telling you, that's where we're at. So, you know, either I'm right or I'm wrong. You make a decision, make a choice. But if you decide I'm right, call Coins Plus 444-0044 or outside the area toll free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website coinsplus.com and we'll get back to you. Thank you once more for tuning in. Be wise, take care, God bless, and we'll be back Friday. Thanks again. Bye-bye.